control. Hey kids, go get high. I can't remember why. Up all night, I waste my time. I'm fine, but a day behind. Up in my feeling stupid and happy, but the days are overlapping. My days are overlapping.
Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. Sorry about that. I was a little bit long on my restroom break there, but we're talking with Art in Maryland. And Art, have you got any more comments for us on you know what I was saying about how all this takes place?
Well, the information this other guy has, he can prove to the judge real quickly they have no jurisdiction, whether you step in the bar, whether you answer his questions or not. And it's using their codes, their laws to prove it. And he's glad to send you the documents. I mean, he doesn't charge anything for it. He's trying to help people out. I think if you would talk to him for just 10 minutes, I think
I would love to talk to him.
Well, how about if I leave my number? Because he did give me permission to hand his number out to radio host, but not over there.
If you send it to me via email, you can reach me at phil.posderick@yahoo.com.
Sure.
And if you need the spelling of my last name, again, it's P-O-Z-D-E-R-A-C. So it's phil.posderick@yahoo.com.
All right. Be looking forward a little later today.
All right, Art. Hey, thanks for your information. And, I think there's several remedies out there. The other remedy, I think, is that there's no law. You know, here in the state of Texas, it's required that every statute and code be confirmed to be constitutional by the state Supreme Court. And so if you're charged during discovery, you just simply subpoena the Attorney General and you ask him to certify the statutes and code as being constitutional. And you, bring the Supreme Court in and, you know, make them testify that this is constitutional. Well, since 1934, in the Emergency War Powers Act, the Constitution has been suspended. We're in a state of war. Our whole lifetime, we're in a state of war. And it's become invisible. You know, it seems like peace, but we're at war. And so the government has all these, war powers. And, of course, they want more. And they're, you know, constantly trying to, you know, create incidents that will give them more power. With that said, I'll go to our next caller, Eric in Georgia. Eric, how are you today? Yeah, you got to turn the sound down on the speakers, otherwise you get the loop back there.
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Okay, I'm fine, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
I'd appreciate you mind if I email you or what Art was telling you about sounds interesting. I'd appreciate it if you'd send me, you know, if it's something you find to be worthwhile, what Art was going to send you.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the reason for my call is, it's my understanding that the Federal Reserve is on its face unconstitutional due to Congress being given the power to coin money, and the Federal Reserve is in essence is acting as a proxy to regulate the money supply, and that's the cause of a lot of our difficulties in this country as far as creating and exacerbating booms and busts, which we all have to suffer through, especially the busts.
Well, with that said, once again, we have to go back for a word from our sponsors. But when we return, I'm going to address that. You're listening to Positively Unconstitutional on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
I can't remember why. Up all night, I waste my time. I am fine, but a day behind. Up in my feeling stupid and happy, but the days are
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Attention all business owners. Save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences. It's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains, and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. And we're visiting with our caller, Eric, from Georgia. And Eric, you were just saying before the break that the Federal Reserve Bank is positively unconstitutional. And of course, I couldn't agree more, but I take the stand that, the Congress is really derelict in their duty of setting the units of weights and measures. And, you know, if you understand that the dollar is a unit of measure, and the Congress is specifically told that they have to set the units of weights and measures, and to find out that the dollar is the only unit of measure without a standard. And what that means is they can just inflate the value of the dollar away, which they've been doing for the past 100 years. 95% of the value of the dollar has been lost. And it's just unconstitutional. It's unconscionable. It's the biggest fraud perpetrated on the American people. It's simply a corporate theft.
Right, and that's a sneaky way to steal wealth from the people is through inflation. They don't even realize they're being
They give you the disinformation that putting your money in a bank is safe because there's a big vault there. But they steal the money out of the vault with inflation. You know, they don't ever have to crack the safe.
Right, and they can create money out of thin air and loan it out, whereas the debtors cannot in kind create money out of thin air to pay them back.
Well, I've been researching that, and I'm not exactly sure that that's true. But I won't go into that today.
Oh, okay. I thought that was counterfeiting.
Well, you know, we're being globalized. And it's my understanding under the United Nations Convention, and you can go look this up and read it for yourself, that anybody can create money through the use of an international bill of exchange.
Oh, wow.
So go out on the internet and look up United Nations Conventions on International Bills of Exchange, and it seems to be a pretty straightforward way that you can create promissory notes that are legal tender.
Well, that's interesting.
I've been researching it, but I can't swear by it, but I mean, you go read it for yourself and, you know, you make your own determination.
Well,
my understanding of what an international bill of exchange is just simply a promissory note. They're typically used to buy products from foreign country that you're importing. So if you wanted to loan money, it seems to me that you could fill out the promissory note, loan somebody the money, get him to sign the international bill of exchange. It's legal tender. Go deposit in the bank.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
Then you can create money at will, as long as you have a willing participant who will sign his signature on the promissory note, unless you want to do it. Of course, you could finance your whole life this way. You could start this month and just, you know, if you have $5,000 a month in expenses, you write a $5,000 promissory note due in 90 days at 5% interest. And then next month you write another one for $5,000, you pay all your bills, and the next month you write another one for $5,000, and now the first note comes due. Well, you reissue a new note, that is the original principal amount plus the interest, and you just finance yourself just like the government. You just keep issuing more promissory notes.
Well, that sounds like if you can't beat them, join them.
That's exactly what I'm saying. There's limited liability. See, when they changed from public money for private debt to private money for public debt, well, they limited your liability. Now, you can just, you know, you can borrow all the money you want, go out and spend it. It doesn't work out, hey, just declare bankruptcy and you're back to even. Limited liability.
One final thing, Phil. I sent you an email last week. Larry Beecraft and Tom Cryer on their program, Liberty's Hamill and Anvil, they were on the microeffect.com. They were inviting proponents of, you know, your legal, you know, the theories that you, you know, that you teach us about each week. And they were inviting teachers such as yourself to call in because they were claiming that this legal theory is a bunch of hooey. They say it's nonsense, but
there is a dual legal system in effect currently in the United States. The Republican system of law is guaranteed by the Constitution, and the first 10 amendments are in full force and effect. The 11th through the 27th amendment are the democracy and change our form of government. And you can see that the 13th, 14th, and 15th amendment, the Reconstruction amendments after the Civil War, impose a system of master-slave whereby we are enticed to become voluntary servants of the Congress. And we set up a trust, as the guy before mentioned, and this trust gives legal ownership of our personal vessel. Our birth certificate is owned by the federal government. Now, when we go to get a driver's license or a marriage license or a Social Security card, we take our birth certificate with us. At that point in time, we are a natural person, and we have in our hand a political fiction. But when they want identification, we hand them the political fiction or the artificial person known as the birth certificate, and we swear that that's us. And from that point forward, they got us because we consented that we are that person. That's how it's done.
Well, simple. I understand what you're saying, but these are two attorneys, and they don't. That's why I sent you the email. I was hoping you'd see it and read it before they went off the air, because I was hoping you'd call them.
Well, I did read it and see it, but not until at least the day after the show, so I wasn't able to call in. You know,
I think it's interesting that you would think they, he's done a lot of work as far as helping people that are have problems with IRS. So I'm surprised that they have this, you know, difference of opinion, but be that
well,
as it may.
I mean, the laws are very archaic. They've been written in a certain way to confuse people, literally to confuse us, so that we don't know which way is up. And of course, then they inject all this disinformation into the marketplace, which, you know, I can't swear that the guy that says, you know, go into court and claim your trust and this and that and the other thing, and I don't know if that's disinformation or not. I may be the master of disinformation. I may be functioning as a provocateur, you know, encouraging people to change their thing. But it's my true belief. And I had one of my shows on genocide. And when they instituted the 14th Amendment back in 1934 under the bankruptcy, that this changed the status. This enslaved all the sovereign Americans. This changed the status from landholder to serf. Every one of us.
Well,
no one in Congress can legally hold office. They're not inhabitants of the state. They're all inhabitants of the federal zone. They all live. They're all U.S. citizens. The Constitution clearly says to be in the Congress, you got to be 25 years old, 7 years a citizen, and an inhabitant of your state. If you're a U.S. citizen, you inhabit the federal zone. You do not inhabit a state. Therefore, you are not eligible to be in the Congress or the Senate. They're all there illegally. But it doesn't matter, because what you have to understand is that you live in a communist, totalitarian, military dictatorship. How do I know that? There's no separation of powers. The president can write law whenever he wants. He just pulls out his executive order. Boom, it's law. I mean, the Constitution says all lawmaking is vested in the Congress. Well, which is it? Can the president make law, or is it vested in the Congress? Is there a separation of power, or isn't there? You can't have it both ways. And we can see that there is no separation of power. There is no constitutional republic in the United States that's active. They adjourned after the Civil War, and they never came back. An insurgent government, a military insurgent government, has taken over. And, you know, if you look at the history, in 1848, they wrote the Communist Manifesto. 12 years later, they started the Civil War in 1860, and they started implementing the Communist Manifesto. It's that simple. We see all the effects of it. You know, the central bank, the income tax, probate tax, inheritance tax, federal educational school system. You name it, they've done it. It's all there.
So it's all smoke and mirrors.
No, it's all based on deception and confusion. It's the most evil, sneaky, you know, plan that you could ever imagine. They have built a system that looks like God's law, but it's really Lucifer's law. And they've made it so convenient, you know, all you gotta do is carry your plastic card up there and swipe and, you know, create money out of thin air. Just, you know, put an account on a computer somewhere, swipe that card, get whatever you want.
Right.
It's really interesting. When you think about it, when you go to the store, everything in the store is prepaid. All you have to do is exchange your promise of pay, your check, with the clerk for a receipt. And that balances the books. You want to take something back, what do they say? Where's the product? No, they say, where's the receipt? Why? They got to balance the books. Everything in our country, you're either a debtor or a creditor, and all the courts are administrative, and all they're trying to do is balance the books under the receivership, under the bankruptcy of the Federal Reserve. Everything has an economic value. A life, a limb, an eye, a tooth, a finger. I know this from personal experience. You know, I worked at a sawmill back in the early 90s, and one of the millwrights got hurt, and he did something stupid. Anyhow, I'll get back to that after the break. I hear the music again. We've got to go for another commercial break. Another word from our sponsors. You've been listening to Positively Unconstitutional.
If I could get a bit of money. Attention all business owners. Save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences. It's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains, and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. And we've been visiting with our caller, and I was just saying before the break that I used to work at a place where employee got injured. He sued us under workman's comp. I went up before the workman's comp board, and there you had it. They had assigned a price to every single body part, and, they said that he get hurt at work, and I said, yep, and they said, deal done. Give that man $8,000. With that said, I guess our last caller has gone away. Are you still with me? He dropped? Okay. Well, let's go to our next caller. I believe our next caller is Mike in Michigan. Mike, how are you today?
I'm well, Phil. Doing well. I'd like to kind of add something maybe for your edification here on the term person. And it comes from a 1914 Bouvier's, it's a two-volume version, page 2574, definition of the term person. It's quite lengthy, but approximately a quarter of the way through the entirety of the definition. You'll find a section in there, and this, I hope, perks your interest a little more in it. I'll quote it here. And there's a set of quotation marks in the embedded within the definition itself. It says corporations are, quote, persons, end quote, as that word is used in the first clause of the 14th Amendment. And it cites Covington and L. Turnpike Company versus Sanford. That's 164 U.S. 578. It went up to Supreme Court, 17 Supreme Court, 198. Smythe versus Ames, 169 U.S. 466. Fire Association, it's a People versus Fire Association, and U.S. versus Supply Company, a series of rulings on this matter. Corporations are, quote, persons, end quote, as that word is used in the first clause of the 14th Amendment. Now, one of the things that I don't know how familiar you are with etymology, but if you look at the term etymologically, if you look at the term person, it'll tell you it comes from the Latin persona, and it meant, as it was originally created, an actor's face mask, a mask worn by an actor. The reason that the legal profession, so-called, has adopted that is because it's unchanging. It's a dead language, and it will never change. It means what it meant back then. Okay, we incorrectly use it, generally speaking, and we don't understand what the meaning of it is. You can take any good comprehensive dictionary, the modern dictionary, and look it up, and it will tell you it comes from the Latin persona. Well, you mentioned that, you know, our language, we're beaten by language, and that's true. If you were a machinist, as an example here, and you're talking with someone who is not a machinist, and you say, well, you're going to go into work today, and you're going to clean the bed. Well, no, the term bed to the party you're talking to has a particular meaning. To you, it's a duality. You sleep in a bed, and the machine that you work on has a bed, and you're going to clean that. You see, it's this dichotomy of language that.
I like to think of it as word art, Mike.
Yes. Yes, yes, and they've adopted a language. You'll find much of the legal language is from the Latin, and it means what it meant then etymologically, you know. And we ought to know those terms and words and phrases.
Like capitis diminutia.
Yes, yes. Another thing, you know, people talk about money, you know, generally speaking, as if they know what they're talking about. Again, it's another word. A fellow I knew, he was very good on that money issue. You take a look at that Federal Reserve Act.
Of course, there is no money in the United States because promissory notes are exclusively excluded in the definition of money.
Well,
so basically, in the United States, there's no money. Not at all.
Tell me, Phil, what a money is. If I asked you to deliver me a money, what would you bring me? Same thing as if I asked you to deliver me a furniture. What would you bring me? They're abstract terms. Many things that can be used as furniture, and many things have been used as money. Okay, it's an abstract term. There is no money.
What I understand now about money, Mike, is that it's not important what the form of money is. What is important about money is how much of it there is out there and who gets to control the supply of money, how much there is. Because if I'm the Federal Reserve and I can control how much money is in the marketplace, then I can expand and contract money supply and just continually steal generation after generation's goods and work just simply by manipulating the currency. But if I have control of, you know, the amount of currency in circulation, then, you know, it's not so easy for everybody else to go ahead and inflate, you know, money out of my bank account. And that...
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Welcome back, and we're talking with Mike in Michigan. And Mike, I want to thank you for your call, and I wish I had a double volume set of the old Bouvier's Law Dictionary sitting here in front of me. I just find this fascinating how they have encrypted the language in code to deceive everyone involved.
Yeah, very few people understand the terms as they were used in Latin, from which, you know, their profession, so to speak, is derived. But you know that Federal Reserve, have you ever read the purpose of the Federal Reserve Act?
I haven't.
Okay, take a look sometime. Just type in Federal Reserve Act of 1913 and you'll pull it up. Read the purpose. It has nothing to do with money. We make a mental leap of joining currency, the term currency, another term, and money as if they're synonymous. And maybe they're not. The Federal Reserve can deal with an elastic currency. That's what it's called in the purpose of the act. Elastic currency. It makes no mention of money. Okay, especially money of account. It deals with the creation of or and the discounting of commercial paper and elastic currency. Like I say, what if currency and money are not one and the same thing? You know, we use the words as if they have the same meaning, and I don't think they do.
My understanding after reading the law, Mike, is that in effect right now, There is three different kinds, as I would look at it, money. Mm-hmm. There are Federal Reserve notes. There is Treasury notes, also known as lawful money. Mm-hmm. And then we have, so we have Federal Reserve notes, we have Treasury notes, oh, and we have United Nations International Bills of Exchange. Those are all legal tender in the United States. Mm-hmm. Now, most people have forgotten when they bank that when they sign a check, they're acting as the authorized representative for their straw man. Mm-hmm. And it says so right on the line that you sign on. That's not actually a line. It's micro print that says authorized representative, authorized representative, authorized mm-hmm. representative. And Federal Reserve notes, as you've noted, are elastic currency. Mm-hmm. But lawful money, Treasury notes, are inelastic currency. So when you go to deposit your check, if you would endorse your signature with, and, you know, I used to endorse my check all the time for deposit only account number so-and-so. Mm-hmm. But now if you would endorse, if everyone would go to the bank and everyone would endorse their check for deposit only to account number in lawful money, then the banks would all go out of business almost overnight. If everyone, you know, would start doing that on every paycheck they got and put it in the bank, this is inelastic currency, Treasury notes. Mm-hmm. And under law, they're required, you know, when you endorse your check in that fashion, to put that in the bank. Of course, now the bank would have no capital, no elastic currency to lend against 10 to 1. And they would immediately have to, you know, suck in all their loans or raise additional capital. And the banks are in big trouble anyhow because of the whole mortgage crisis.
Yes, they are. You know, if you take a look at, again, we've kind of mixed words together and attach some synonymous, definition to them. The term, again, money, and you use the word Federal Reserve note, whether it's a good note or not, you know, in other words, whether it meets the criteria of a note is not topic here, but the point of it is, if it is a note, it says in two places, it says Federal Reserve note, and then in the fine print, it says this note is legal tender. Okay, how come it didn't print, because it's just ink on paper, how come they didn't say this money is legal tender? In two places, at least on the face of it, they'll tell you it's a note, and a note is merely promissory thing.
Two things that we can be sure of.
Yeah.
One, there is no provision made in the Federal Reserve Act to pay back the national debt.
Yeah.
So we can be assured that the promissory note will never be paid. Mm-hmm. And two, we know that the law, the charter of the bank, says that they're allowed to loan money, but they cannot act as surety and guarantee someone else's debt and loan you corporate debt. Mm-hmm. Now, it seems to me that since the United States government is a municipal corporation, a federal corporation, and the note will never be paid, has no value, and the bank cannot act as surety, they're all breaking the law. Every single bank that loans you Federal Reserve notes, they ain't loaning you money. They're loaning you and acting as surety. They're guaranteeing that debt. They have to. Otherwise, how can they loan you that corporate debt?
Well, if in fact there is some debt due and owing to someone, what is it owed in?
Well, that's my point, is the dollar has no standard of measure.
Well, what...
It's not in anything other than, you know, this floating exchange rate against other currencies. But the other currencies have no value either.
Well, that's because they're currency. They have no intrinsic value. They're worth whatever you will give up to take one of them or whatever you'll part with, you know, to receive something, or whatever you'll give of them to acquire something. That's their worth. Their value is zero, you know, essentially. They have no intrinsic value because, Phil...
I mean, the big fraud is that the government can print the bills whenever they want to. The Treasury already prints the bills.
Yeah.
So why do we have to create a bond at interest in order to create the bills. Why not just spend the bills into, you want a road work done, just hire people and pay them with bills.
Remember, every note is evidence of what? A debt.
Yeah.
And the greater the debt, the more paper can be issued to recognize that debt. That used to be called the M3, you know. They used to keep track of that, you know. They were pretty good at
keeping track of the M3, and Shadow Stats will help you keep track of that. You can go there, and you'll see that on September the 15th, 2008, the big 11 financial institutions in the United States stole over $20 trillion as M3 shrunk because of the collateralized debt obligations, failure to trade these AAA-rated bonds. The M3 shrunk from somewhere around $33 trillion to somewhere around $8 trillion. So about $25 trillion was lost overnight on September the 15th, 2008. This money was stolen. I mean,
tell me what it was. What is it that they actually stole, though? You see, they removed currency from circulation. That is a fact, yeah. Or the potential of currency from circulation. They removed that, according to Mr. Beardsley Rummel, you know.
Well, think about it this way. You know, I saw a special on a municipality in Norway, and that municipality had taken 25% of their money, and they had invested it in AAA-rated collateralized debt obligations from, you know, the United States, and this was to provide for, you know, about 40% of their municipal budget to run their city. So you say, what did they steal? Well, they stole the work of all the people in that city in Norway. And I'm sure that at some point, you know, when $25 trillion is stolen, that represents the work of the people.
Yeah.
And this theft was specifically designed to enslave the people.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, the more rights they take from us and the harder they press us and the more we have to work to keep up, you know, to keep the wheel turning, the more discouraged we become, you know, the less freedom there is. And, of course, it's all designed to fail in the end. And, you know, it's all designed so that everything always goes back to the receiver of the bankruptcy.
Well, you've touched on it. It's the productive labor of mankind that they're after. And he who controls another's productive labor is the master, and the one stolen from is the slave, and that's really the crux of the matter. It's a worldwide slavery, all brought by these bankers. Yeah, you know, I was going to mention one other thing, and then I'm going to let you go, Phil. Here, if you do a study relating to the origins of what we know to be today the state, it'll take you back to England just about 150 to maybe 250 years, somewhere in that area, in that era, of the origin of corporations. What we know today and call, maybe erroneously, the state, it had its origin way back. They were rudimentary, of course, corporations. But the first advent of corporations was approximately the 1200s, and their purpose was to limit liability of people that were prohibited. There's a short 21-page treatise. I'll make mention of this, and I'll have to let you go, Phil. But a 21-page treatise called "The Shetar: Its Effects on the English Common Law." And 21 pages, and about 60% of it are footnotes. And through that, you can arrive at, if you do your research, you can arrive at the origins a couple hundred years later of the first corporations, and then approximately 200 years after that was the first state. Back in August, I had a opportunity to talk with a group of people, and a pastor whom I respect was there, and I asked him to, you know, participate in this, and I asked him a question. I said, well, you're here, and you can provide the information here, what doctrine or body of so-called law did the creator of these of this earth and the universe itself dictate to his people, the mankind, to create and regulate and control and whatever something which is fiction. And
well, Gersh, God created the natural laws, and as we know, the natural laws always function.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you're here on Earth, gravity never ceases to function. You don't suddenly just float away.
We ought to repeal
that law. That's the law.
Legislature tried to repeal. But anyway, his answer was none. And I says, okay, look in your Bible and find the word state as we know it, you know, as we speak of it. Find it in state. What, you know, where was it? Where's the
mammon.
Creation of... Huh?
Mammon.
Well, you won't find it as we speak of it. He did bring up, he says, well, Paul was talking about a state of mind, but that's as close as it comes. God is not the origin of states, and he never delegated man in any body of law to create and deal with things which are fictional, that is lies. And he says, well, here, go out and create this, by a lie, create this fictional entity and get everybody to believe it. That never happened. But anyway,
well, and going back to the word persona, you know, when you put on your actor's mask, you effectively are lying. You've created this, alternative personality, this ulterior persona, this alter image.
Yeah, never was born naturally a Mrs. Smith's bouncing baby judge or bouncing baby president or whatever. Never, it was a child,
They're all child, right?
Yeah, well.
That's all that are born.
Yeah, that's right. And never the fiction. And there's never been naturally born a sheriff or a, take any title you insert it as you want, fill in the blank. Hey, Phil, I'm going to let you go, but
okay,
it's great
Mike,
talk.
Thank you for your call, Mike, and I had a point to make there before he said goodbye. Oh, I was going to say that no child was ever born into the political fiction of the United States. So no U.S. citizen was actually born in the United States. We were all born in the Republic of our states, and when we swore allegiance to the United States, well, we committed treason against the Republic of our birth. And, of course, the Constitution is still in full force and effect, and if we choose to live under God's law and under the Constitution, then we can see that, everything is different. We have a different status, and with that said, I'll go to our next caller. We're running out of time here. I believe Gary in California was next. Gary, how are you this morning?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I hear you.
This is David.
Oh, I'm sorry. David in Massachusetts?
Yes.
All right. Hi, David. How are you this morning? What's going on?
Oh, fine, Phil. Hey, Phil, I really appreciate your show when you have one of the most thoughtful audiences there, an audience of deep thinkers, and of course, and that includes the host, of course. But listen, Phil, I want, what I find very helpful in straightening a lot of people out is this, Phil. And it's kind of going back a little earlier in the show, you were talking a little bit about this. It's theology rather than, citizenship and subject and all that, the rights of man and all that sort of thing. But, Phil, people tend to believe that the Jewish people were gathered at the end of World War II by the anti-God, anti-Christ, communistic United Nations, and that the Jewish people, God's chosen people, were gathered by this, anti-God, anti-Christ, communist entity, and they were regathered into Palestine. And, a lot of people fall for that, Phil, not your audience, but the average American falls for that because they're not given an alternative. Well, I'm going to give the alternative. I know where the God's chosen people have been regathered. And it's a spiritual place, Phil. It's not a physical place. It's not Eretz Israel. It's not the land of Israel, the land of Palestine.
You got about 1 minute. You got 1 minute to finish your thought here. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, quickly, they haven't been the Jews that have rejected the chosen Messiah. They're not God's chosen people at all. God's chosen people are the Jewish people, beginning with the founding of the church, the first church to be, the church that Jesus found in his apostles. They were Jewish. They were first called Christians at Antioch. But we're the Jewish people. We're God's chosen people have been regathered. They have been regathered into the body of Christ, into the spiritual, mystical body of Christ. Jesus Christ, when he was looking over Jerusalem, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you, like a hen gathereth her chicks under her."
And with that said, we've got to go back for another word from our commercial sponsors. You're listening to Positively Unconstitutional on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So I'm sleeping here every day. There's a reason I just do it all over again.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain meal, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain meal will be passed down through generation. The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain meal, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain meal will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. I want to remind everybody to stay tuned for Todd McGreevy and Common Sense Revisited coming up at the noon hour in 6 minutes. We're just about out of time. We've been talking with our caller David in Massachusetts. And David, you were just saying that the Jewish people were God's chosen people, and they have been regathered into the body of Christ. And all this to me is very confusing, because of course most of the people that claim to be Jewish in this country are not descendants of Shem. They're not Semitic at all. Most of them are descendants of Khazar. And, of course, the Talmud has been incorporated into law. It is a book of law. It's been religionized and called Judaism, whereby, you know, all the Jewish people are taught basically the uniform commercial code in synagogue every Sunday. So, now that I'm through with my long-winded, go ahead and rebut that, David. What do you think?
Well, thanks, Phil, because I didn't have a chance to complete this comparison. See, God's chosen in the body of Christ is neither Jew nor Gentile. Now, God's chosen people is the church. God's Israel, the Israel of God, is the church. What you have over there in Palestine, the Jewish people, once they receive the chosen Jewish people, the true chosen Jewish people, always choose the true chosen Jewish Messiah. They cease to be known as Jews in history. They're all through history, no matter whether they convert to Catholicism or some denomination of Protestantism, they just become known as Christians. They become known as Catholics or Protestants. The Jews were first called Christians at Antioch. What you have over there in this Eretz Israel, this physical regathering of Jews, that's what the Jesus Christ in Revelation calls the synagogue of Satan. Beware of those who say that they're Jews. They are not. They do lie. They are the synagogue of Satan. And if you didn't get it the first time, turn the page. If you didn't get it at Revelation 2:9, if it didn't sink in the first time, just turn one page to Revelation 3:9, and Jesus Christ repeats those words again. So the downfall of Christianity in this country is they can't differentiate between the good Jewish people who all down through history, the good Jewish people who received the true chosen Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, and they cease to be known as Jews at that point. Any rabbi will tell you this, by the way. If a Jewish person believes that the Messiah has already come, right then and there he ceases to be Jewish. According to Orthodox Judaism, Reform Judaism and Conservative Judaism. So God's the chosen Jewish people received the chosen Messiah. They're right into the they've been regathered into the body of Christ along with the Gentiles. That's where they're gathered. That group, that pirate crew that's gathered over in that bandit state of what I call isn't real. They're what Jesus Christ calls the synagogue of Satan. Those who have rejected God's chosen Messiah. But, you know, certainly the people who have rejected God's chosen Messiah are not the Jews. Those Jews aren't the chosen people. The chosen Jews are the ones who have received the Messiah. Hey, such as Peter, such as Paul, such as the Apostle John, such as Philip and Nathaniel, all Jews, but they received the true chosen Jewish Messiah. And they were first called Christians at Antioch. So the true Jewish people have been spiritually regathered into the body of Christ. This foolish nonsense with this, like I say, look who...
Dave, thanks for your call, but we're out of time. Time flies when you're having fun. You've been listening to Positively Unconstitutional on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks again for your call, Dave. I'm sorry to cut you off this way, but I really don't have any choice.